It was 1996, and I was a freshman in college. Things were good. First of all, I did not sleep on my mom's couch. That's a total dig. So it was 1996. I was a freshman in college. Things were good. My first time away from home for an extended period of time. My first tattoo, my first spring break. Things were good, right? But summer was quickly approaching, and I did not have any plans. A lot of my friends did have plans, and so I felt the pressure to do something, like, good. I had friends that were going to work in Atlanta for the Summer Olympics and some other friends that were traveling some pretty cool places, so I was feeling the pressure. I'm originally from an extremely small town in Kentucky that goes by the name of Crab Orchard. Woo! You're welcome for that. Small town as in one caution light and an Amish community, so I really didn't, like, I wasn't prepared to go home for the summer. I kind of wanted something a little more adventurous. With no plans, I had been approached by our campus minister several times to do summer missions. Summer missions. I know that these aren't cool anymore, and I know that they probably weren't ever cool, but I'm going to use them tonight for your entertainment purposes. So, summer missions. So I had some friends that were going to do summer missions, and I decided, you know what, this is going to be a good opportunity for me. I'm just going to do it. So I agreed to it, and he threw several options at me, one of which was Gulf Shores, Alabama. So I decided that if I was going to work it for Jesus, I was going to work it on the beach. So I decided to do that. I didn't have many details about the summer. I didn't know what the summer was going to bring. I just knew that it was going to be beach ministry. What? Whatever that is, beach ministry. So I was on board. So I arrived to find out that I'm on a team of 7 people, 3 guys and 4 girls. It was kind of like arriving at the MTV Real World House, like 7 strangers and a cool place. Okay, and it wasn't like that at all. Not at all. I actually don't feel like I may have been in the real world that entire summer, but you'll learn a little bit more about that in just a second. So I'd met the 7 strangers. Everybody was fine. I knew I was going to spend an entire summer with them, so, you know, it had to be fine, really. And I'd met the 2 people that would be my supervisors. They were a married couple in their middle 30s, I would say. Their names were Jessica and Roland. And I knew, like, from the beginning that something wasn't quite right. You know how you get that feeling? You're like, something's not quite right. So I had that feeling. They were extremely strict, and you could tell from the beginning, and they were a little shady. Like, you could just tell they were shady. So I meet them, and I'm greeted with, tattoos are not acceptable. Okay, well, evidently people that are employed by Jesus can't have tattoos. And I had just traveled from Kentucky to Alabama, and I was like, well, I have a tattoo, so what does that mean? You know? So they called in all the big dogs from the area. We were going to have a meeting about my leg. I swear. Literally, the meeting was like this. And everybody was looking at it. It was, like, really weird. So they come to the conclusion at the end of this meeting that the only way that I was going to be able to stay and work for them for the summer was to wear tube socks on the beach. So if you're not familiar with tube socks, they come to about right here. So I was not okay with that. It wasn't okay. So finally, after a lot of discussion, they were like, okay, no tube socks, you can stay. Had I known, like, what was to come down the road, I'm confident now to this day that I would have purchased a bunch of Sharpies and, like, went crazy on myself and gave them one of these. But I didn't. I stayed. So all of that hoopla was over, and I find out more details as we go along, that we're going to be an entertainment troupe for the summer. I like that word, troupe. It's like this troop. So it was going to include many things, one of which was puppets. Another was musical variety, and I did say puppets. All of these things I was not used to, and I was not prepared for. But I decided I would take one for the team and just go with it. So rehearsals started for the summer. you know, strict rehearsals. And we were getting the show down, and my hesitations about the married couple quickly came to a head. Like, I knew that something was shady. Here it is. They showed up to a rehearsal dressed as their alter egos, which evidently in their spare time, they were clowns for Jesus. It's awesome. And their names were Bobo and Tater Tot. So at this point, I realized that I'm going to be reporting to two people for an entire summer who refer to themselves as Bobo and Tater Tot. It was great. So our first mission with Bobo and Tater Tot would be to go out on the beach, and they were going to make balloon animals for the lost. It was entertaining, and that was round one of the summer. Round one, ding ding, time to go, pay the piper. So we had all of our rehearsals down, we had our songs down, we had everything, we were ready to go. And so the schedule for the summer looked like this. We were set to entertain at beach resorts, a state park, nursing homes, and a prison. So it's kind of a good variety, a nice mix, I thought. So we're ready to go. We had been to the prison several times, and we had, you know, we were comfortable with the prison, as comfortable as you could get with a prison. So this was our probably maybe third visit there. We pull in, and there are all of these chain link fences. We had performed there before, and it was kind of like the scene from, if you're familiar with Walk the Line, like where he's in the prison, he's going crazy. It wasn't like that at all. Like, our performance wasn't anything like that. But it was cool. Puppets for the prisoners. So we get to the prison, and there's a chain link fence, and we're greeted by the guard. Like, this fence had never been there. You know, we had just went into the prison. Well, this fence is up, and the guard comes out, and he says, you know, you cannot come into the prison today because there's been a masturbation outbreak. I love it. Yeah. So, you know, here we are ready to do our performance, and he's like, you're going to have to do your business behind the fence. So we did our business behind the fence. It was awesome. Anything basically right now that you're thinking about when you hear the two words masturbation outbreak together, anything you can think of was correct for that time. So just roll with it. It was bad. So after some time in Crazy Town, like, we were ready to get out. The seven strangers, we were band together. We were in this crazy situation. And we found out that we were going to take our troop on the road. It was good. We were going to head to New Orleans. So it was like, finally, some culture for the summer. You know, we're going to get to see some random stuff that we obviously hadn't seen yet. So we get there. They tell us that we're going to do our performance. We're going to meet some other people and perform with them. And then after that, we're going to have free time. So we're really excited for a chance to have some free time because we really hadn't had any the whole time. So we do our performance, and Bobo goes into like a freak mode. He's like, we have to go right now, everybody in the van. So we are like extremely upset. Everybody's mad. We have no clue, no explanation why we're getting in the van to go back home. So we're all fuming in the van. And finally, with enough pressure from all seven of us, he reveals why we had to leave. And the reason that we left to go back home was there was a new episode of Walker, Texas Ranger coming on TV, and he wasn't prepared to miss that. So if that gives you a clue into Bobo and Tater Tot just a little bit. So I immediately started looking for anything sharp in the van that I could gouge myself with. It was time to end it. It was over. It was rough times. So we get back, but I will say, like, for the entire summer, my saving grace was a large nursing home that we frequented. It was absolutely the biggest nursing home I've ever seen. I mean, white hair and wheelchairs everywhere. That's all it was. But we were set to perform for the first time there. And they actually had an auditorium. I mean, it was like a for real fancy pants nursing home. So we were set, all of our microphones across the stage, all seven of us. You know, we were ready to let them have it. It was full, white hair. Wheelchair, white hair, wheelchair. All the staff was in there. So we were ready to go, you know, waiting for the music to come on. And the sweet little elderly woman stands up in the middle of the crowd and screams to the top of her lungs, "All right, you little bitches, let's hear what you got." Absolutely couldn't contain myself from laughter and had to do this. Cue the Jesus music. Come to find out, her name was Kathy, and she had an extreme case of Tourette's syndrome. And when I say extreme, I mean extreme. I loved her so much. we would get, like, every 2 weeks, we'd get a youth group in from another state, and they would help us with our entertainment. Like, we wanted to keep it fresh, you know? So we would bring these youth groups in, and then we would take them to all of our venues. Like, we would go to the prison and take the kids to the prison. You know, who doesn't want to do that when they're in elementary school? This is the prison. So the kids were always, like, right on it. You know how kids are. They want to know what to do and when to do it. So when we would take them to the nursing home, my favorite thing would be is all the kids would run up and say, you know, what do we do? What do we do? And I would say, well, the first thing you should do, first of all, before I say that, like, the key word that would set Kathy off, like the key phrase, was how are you doing? And if you told Kathy how you were doing, or if you asked her how you were doing, she would immediately tell you how she was doing in some pretty exciting words. And then she would tell you how you should be doing in some exciting words. So my favorite thing about the summer is when we had these youth groups come in, all the kids would be like, what do we do? What do we do? And I would say, well, you know, at the nursing home, the first thing we do is we just go around and ask everybody how they're doing. And so I would wait for the poor kid that was going to get Kathy. And that was my favorite part of the summer. So from that point, like, anytime, like today to this day, it's been several years, anytime I see a clown or a puppet or Chuck Norris, my ass clenches just a little bit. Tight. And actually, after that summer, I realized Crab Orchard didn't seem so bad with the Amish. But I will say that the next summer, I waited tables.